Okay, greetings from Singapore. This is my wife Vivian and our daughter Gracie. We are currently stuck in Singapore and we are looking forward to coming back to see all of you. I don't know about you guys, but August is really a busy time for us. Me in particular, because it's the time to prepare for the TBS or TF Bible study class, which starts in September. And this year we're going to study Genesis. How many of you actually studied the entire book of Genesis, 50 chapters? If you have not, I would suggest that you come and join us for the online class on Monday evenings. So as I started on my preparations, I feel that Genesis holds many precious lessons for all of us, especially during this season. Now, I know some of you will say, come on, Moses, it's just a story of creation and a bunch of people like Noah, Abraham, and Isaac. What can we learn from their experiences? Their experiences are very different from mine. I've never been through a flood like Noah. I've never left my homeland and taking a trip not knowing where I'll land like Abraham. And I definitely would never sold like a slave like Isaac. So wait, let's pause and think. May I suggest to you that actually there's something common between what they went through and our current experiences? What is that? Is that feeling of uncertainty, the feeling of uncertainty. I'm sure Noah felt that sense of feeling uncertainty when he obeyed the Lord to build the ark. And his neighbors would probably walk by and give him that look, you know, what are you doing down there? And I'm sure Abraham too had that feeling of uncertainty when he left his family, his extended family, and embarked on a trip to a promised land that God has promised him. And how about Isaac? The sense of uncertainty, particularly when he was carried into captivity in Egypt. Was that God's plan for him? Like these Genesis characters, we too live in a period of uncertainty. We crave for that sense of certainty in the midst of uncertainty. Some of us may wonder, so when can we go back to the old normal? Can our children go back to school safely? With the economy down, is my job still tenable? Will I be out of a job? For the children, it may be, when can I hang out with my friends again at church camp? You know, the Singapore Straits Times, on the 9th of May, called this a mental fallout. That's what COVID is doing to all of us. And I quote, globally, there's been a surge of number of calls to mental health hotlines. CNN reported that calls to the US Federal Crisis Hotline, Disaster Distress Helpline, spiked 891% in March, year on year. In China, hundreds of call hotlines were sprung up and were inundated with calls, according to Reuters. And in Singapore, the National Care Hotline was set up to offer extra help and has seen 6,600 calls by the end of the month since its launch in April the 10th. And just a couple of days back, there was this article that talked about the COVID-19 fatigue. You see, people in Singapore are tired of all the rules that have been set up to limit the spread of the virus, the wearing of masks, the doing of safe entry check-ins. Are you tired? Do you feel tired during this pandemic? How's the uncertainty affecting you? So when we look at the Genesis characters, realize that they are very different from us. Although like us, they face a lot of uncertainties, but they all held on to their faith and finished the race. How did they do it? You may ask. What was that common thread that runs through all these characters? And may I suggest that the common thread was God. Who is this God that they believed in? Why were they able to make such audacious decisions of faith? Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 1 to learn about this God. So Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. See, Genesis is a book of beginnings. The theme of beginnings is dominant throughout the whole book. It tells us of the origins of the universe, the animal kingdom of mankind. It tells us of the first family, the origin of evil, and so forth. In fact, this very first verse 1 right? It's actually one of three accounts of beginnings in Genesis. What do I mean? Verse 1 is actually a summary verse. It gives us the big picture of creation. Then from verse 2 onwards into verse 31, it will flesh out how did God created the heavens and the earth. All right? So that's what we're going to cover today. And in chapter 2, if you have a chance to study, it fleshes out day 6 where man was created. Okay, let's come back to this verse. Verse 1 tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. God is the author and he existed before time. In fact, the word created, right, in Hebrew means fashioned. Fashioned. It means there was a plan. There was a logical process. It wasn't an ad hoc series of activities, you know, like Big Bang, boom, then everything came out. So the Hebrew word fashioned here is a much richer meaning than the English word created. In fact, one image that comes to mind is the potter and the clay. The potter plans out what he wants to do. Then he molds the formless clay into its final shape. You see, ancient Hebrew language is a sense-based language. They thought in agricultural terms, and their language was based on what they could see, feel, taste, smell, and hear. It's very visual in that sense. So as you study, as we go through Genesis, especially in chapter 1, it's a very visual picture. Moses here is painting a picture for us in chapter 1. And the picture begins in verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the God was hovering over the face of the waters. So in the beginning, the earth was without form and darkness. In Hebrew, it is tohu va vohu. Tohu va vohu. Sound rhymes a bit, right? Without form and empty. And I like the illustration given by Dr. Mark Strauss, a New Testament scholar. So he says, look, imagine the earth like a lump of clay, formless and empty. And God did this clay and formed it and filled it. Okay? So he suggested that one way to look at this Genesis creation story is there was there was 3 days of forming and 3 days of filling. So day one was the separation of light from darkness. Day two was the separation of the sea from the sky. Day three, the separation of land from the sea and produced vegetation for the land. And day four was the filling of the heavens with the sun, moon, stars. Day five, filling the seas and skies with fish and birds. And day six, finally, filling the land with animals and humanity. In fact, right here, we are told that the Spirit of God at creation, at the point of creation, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit was there. And so was Jesus, because we are told in John 1:3 that all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was not made. Okay, so let's move on to verse 3. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. See, God spoke, and it came into being. We see the awesome power of God in this very simple act. You know, many modern day companies are always talking about creating things of value. But to create, it starts with raw materials. You need something to start with. For instance, to create surgical masks, you need a special type of cloth, not just any piece of cloth. The technology to produce surgical face masks is not rocket science, but yet there was an acute shortage. Why? That was because there was a shortage of raw materials. But here we see God's awesome power in action. He spoke and he came into being. This is the God that we worship. And beyond creating something out of nothing, God also named the light day and the darkness night. This is naming rights. He had every right to name it what he created. By giving its name, God establishes his sovereignty and ownership over it. So this is the lesson for us, the first lesson, that our God is a powerful God. So what are the implications for us here? Well, In Romans 8, verse 31, Paul reminds us, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? See, Paul is reminding us that God, we have a powerful God, the God who created the heavens and the earth on our side. And there's nothing absolutely to be afraid of. But yet many of us are worried and afraid of this COVID-19 pandemic. All the plans that we have, our weddings, our jobs, there's so much uncertainties. But here we learn that God can and will work through the pandemic. If God wanted to stuff out the pandemic tomorrow, can he? Of course he can. Now, how many of us remembered SARS 13 years back? Maybe you're a bit too young, but it was tough then. Yes, you may say it's a smaller version of what we're having here, but in Singapore, in Hong Kong, there were a lot of people who died, hundreds of people. One of my dear doctor friends died too. But yet overnight, up to today, no one could explain why. It disappeared. See, that's my point. If God wants it to go away, it will go away. Let's move on. Verse 6. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And so it was. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Okay, I know now it was this expanse we're talking about. Think of it this way. God is actually separating the sky from the sea. All right? He created the first water cycle. Because there are two waters, right? Waters from the sea and waters in the sky, the clouds. So, in fact, he created the first water cycle. Water from the earth evaporated and went to the sky as clouds. And then when it rains, the clouds, it returns the waters back to the earth. You see the water cycle going, right? That's the first water cycle. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and all the waters that were gathered together, he called sea. And God saw that it was good. All right? And let me jump now to verse 11. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on earth. And it was so. And then in verse 12, it says, and God said, it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the third day. I don't know about you, when was the last time you went to the supermarket? For me, it's been many years, 10 years actually to be precise, that since I have extended stay in Singapore. And this time around, as I go to the supermarket, I could see, I'm amazed by the variety of fruits from all over the world. What do we mean? You know, in the last 10 years in China, whenever we think of pears, right? There are basically two types of pears you can think of. It's green pears, right? And then you got yellow pears. But when I went to the supermarket recently in Singapore, I saw there were blush pears from South Africa. I'm like, what on earth is blush pears? It's basically your green pears in China, green color, but there was this splash of red color on it, very beautiful. And this is called blush pears from South Africa. And in Singapore, we are so used to grapes from Australia. Most of our grapes are from Australia. But this time around, when I went to the supermarket, I saw there were grapes from Egypt. I never knew Egypt produced grapes. Wow, what a variety of fruits. See, all these are possible because God created them. God is such a creative God. There's such a huge variety. So here is a second lesson for us. Our God is a creative God. See, God is a God of imagination. He delights in creativity. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so that we can walk in them. So this verse is a reminder that we have this creative gift that we can share with the world. We all have something to contribute to the body of Christ. What have you been contributing to the church? stop saying that I'm an ordinary Christian, I've got no gifts. You are special. All of us are special. Why am I saying that? Because creativity is hardwired into our DNA by God. God is the creative God. So we all are creative people. It's just that we are creative in different ways. Okay? Because God, in Genesis 1:27, God says God created man is only in his own image. All right? So that's a very important point. So the God, the creators of all creators, the one who created who fashioned the sun, the humpback whale, made us in his image. So we are creative people. But creativity is hard work. It is hard work. I'm not saying that, you know, you just, boom, it comes out. It takes hard work to write a poem, to do your gardening, to service a car. All right? It requires us to kill our laziness, to work faithfully over an extended period of time. It requires a willingness to receive criticism and feedback. It requires sweat and elbow grease. It requires us to be diligent and faithful. Are you being faithful? Are you being diligent? Let's move on. So from day 4 to day 6, you see God filling the heavens with the sun, moon, and stars. Let's look, and day 5 talks about filling with the seas and the skies. And lastly, day 6, the land. Let's look at day 4, you know, and in verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let there be the signs and the seasons for the days and the years. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Here, what you're talking about, two lights here. In fact, verse 16, God made the two great lights. You're talking about the sun and then the moon, right? So in verse 16, God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. And interestingly here, it says dash the and the stars. So the stars is almost an afterthought here. But you pause and think about it. Eh? I thought the earth is not the center of the universe. The galaxy is huge. There are many solar systems out there. But why this particular narration? It seems to suggest, it talks about what the focus, it seems to be on earth, right? So it's from our perspective, all right? So down here, and the stars, the last three words, seems to suggest that, oh, by the way, God also created all the stars out there in the galaxy. It's a powerful reminder, right? That actually there's lots of stuff that God created. We may have overlooked because every time you're looking for things from our perspective. Okay, so what we see now is God actually created. First, remember, let's recap the 3 days of forming. Okay, he took the lump of clay, formed. So imagine he formed a cup and he started to fill things in it. Okay, he started to fill things in it. So God has a plan and the perfect process and the perfect timing. Okay, he created a cup, then he filled it up. And here lies the third lesson for all of us. Our God is a purposeful God. You know, I have a dentist friend who shared with me this. He says every time when he goes to work, he stands in awe of God. And I felt, wow, this is quite overwhelming, right? You know, I asked him why. He said, well, every time he goes to work, he sees God as the perfect creator. So he explained to me, he says, look, God has programmed in all of us how our teeth will grow. Each tooth seems to know when it should come out, whether it's our milk teeth or whether it's our adult teeth. Once it grows, so it grows automatically, and once it grows to its fuller size, it knows when to stop. Every tooth has been programmed, okay? So think about this. This program is written into everybody's DNA. Wow! I don't know about you, no, wow! You know, you ever tried programming everyone's tooth? Okay? So, take a look at this picture. This is my daughter, Gracie. Okay, why am I showing you? Because I want to show you her tooth, her teeth rather. And I don't know about you, have you ever tried rushing God? See, my wife, My mom is very anxious about teeth. She says, how come there's only four at the top, two at the bottom? Right? She's very anxious. She says, no, more should be growing out, but it's not happening. So she's thinking of rushing God, pray for more teeth. So I don't laugh at my wife, because have you ever prayed, God, I need a girlfriend. I need a boyfriend now. I'm already 28 years old. I'm going to be a 剩女 or 剩男, right? So we see we're all trying to rush God. You know, we think that we have the best timing. When can we learn to rest in the Lord, to rest in His timing? How can we do that? So in verse 26, and God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and all over the earth, and over all every creeping things that creep on earth. See, mankind was created to be God's representative in creation. The fall had marred the entirety of it all, but it was restored in Revelations chapter 22 and 21, through the ideal man, the second Adam. You notice the other thing is, in the preceding 5 days, God says, let there be, let there be. And it was so. But here, God says, let us. Let us. Man is thereby placed closer to God than the rest of creation. Furthermore, man was made after their own kind. He was made after God's image. And it's interesting to note also that God said on the sixth day of creation that it was very good, not merely good. Perhaps it's an indication of man's place in all of God's creative work, an exalted place. You know, many years ago when I first bought my apartment in Singapore, many of my friends thought it was a bad buy. Even my Christian brothers who came over and, you know, look at the apartment and says, this is not good. And I can understand why they say that. Because when they first entered into the apartment, they were first greeted by this original 30-year-old creaking door with peeling paint. And as people walk in, you will notice the whole apartment was dark and gloomy. It was gloomy because the previous owner was a Taoist old lady. And those who are familiar with Taoism, they burn a lot of incense. And as they burn, it would darken the entire apartment with all the soot. It was tohu va vohu, that kind of feeling. All right? And so, but nevertheless, I bought the apartment. And I started to put a lot of energy and thought in the renovation. To what extent? I attended interior decorating classes. And every day during lunch hour, I will run to the library near my office and spend my lunch hour poring through the renovation books. And although I actually hired a professional interior designer, I would actually challenge her many times about her design. I remember once I challenged her and said she wanted to put an oven, right? And she wanted to put it at the bottom. And I challenged her. I said, do you know how to bake? And she said, no. Then I said, okay, then you follow my instruction. Put it at waist level. Why do I say that? It's because it was really, you know, if you've never baked, you don't understand. You put the oven at the bottom, you got to bend up and down to bake something. It'll kill your back, all right? The other thing I did was I hacked all the walls in the apartment down, all the walls. I'm talking about interior, all right? I hacked all of it down except for one. And my property agent friend scolded me for hacking all the walls. He says, nobody will ever want to buy your apartment after what you've done to it. But I pursued on. And after 6 months, when all the renovation was done, everything was torn down or rebuilt, my friends who came back, they couldn't recognize it. They say, is this the same apartment I saw? That dark and gloomy place? It's no longer. You should ask me, hey Moses, why do you put in so much effort? It's just an apartment. Well, I put in a lot of effort because this apartment was actually planned not for me. It was actually planned for me and my future family, my future bride. So I think this creation story here paints a beautiful picture of how God formed and filled the earth in preparation for humanity and for you and for me. God declares it to be good. In the midst of this pandemic, we have many reasons to be strong and of good courage. The God of Noah, Abraham, Isaac is our God. We have learned that in Genesis 1, our God is a powerful God. He is in control, even though everything seems to be out of control. Would you trust Him? Our God is a creative God. When we see no solutions in our challenges and difficulties, God has a creative solution. Do you believe in Him? And lastly, we learned that God, our God, is a purposeful God. Even when it makes no sense, the situation, God has a purpose for everything that happens in our lives and things around us. Will you trust Him? Think about that. Let us pray. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lessons in Genesis 1. And I thank you for reminding all of us, Lord, that God, you are a powerful God, that God, you are a creative God, and God, you are a purposeful God. And all that's happening today in the pandemic and in our lives, the chaos, the disruption, the difficulties, God, you are in control. I pray, Father, that you help us to rest in you, help us to rest in who you are, because you are a faithful God and you are a powerful God. We thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright.